Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
At 6:32, we cross to Israel now to chat with Lawrence Seif. He's an emergency responder at Magen David Adom. We wanted to understand how the MDA and how Israel's emergency services are preparing for a counter-attack from Iran. Lawrence, a very good morning. You and I, in fact, you were the first message I got this morning at about, what was it, about 10 to 3 our time. Yours was the first message that I received that Israel has launched this attack. How were Israelis made aware of it?
At around about that time, about a minute and a half before that, the civilian command sends out a message and sirens on everyone's telephone. So the sirens go off on the telephone, and right. It actually came through that there's an earthquake.
What?
And the idea was, And the idea is to get people up, dressed, ready to move.
It was a morning alarm. The whole of Israel was woken up, a wake up call.
That's right. It was a wake up call. Then the sirens went off outside, and no one knew what was really going on, but everyone was awake.
Right.
And then they started broadcasting on television the army spokesman that Israel has launched a preemptive attack on Tehran and Iran and strategic targets there,
right.
And that instructions will follow. So the whole country basically woke up at that time, and everyone was ready to do what followed orders.
And it was incredible because I checked in after I heard from you, I checked in with my kids who were, of course, in their safe rooms, and they knew that at that point then that they didn't actually need to be there. It was to be prepared. And then immediately afterwards, they were preparing. They were making sure that they had more water and food and a charger, because I think the understanding is that they might need to be in their shelters for longer periods of time. Is that right?
And then about 10, 15 minutes later, the broadcast on TV said, gave the news and said that there aren't specific instructions at the moment, just to remain close to sheltered areas, the bomb shelters and so on. And all the emergency personnel, security, medical, everyone was scrambled, mobilized.
Right. So you, and of course you're very much part of the fabric of Israel's emergency response team. Now at this stage, there hasn't been, as far as I understand, any counterattack yet from Iran. I did see reports earlier that they might have launched something, but it was intercepted even before it left anyone's airspace. What are the instructions, the ones that you can reveal to us, that you at Magen David Adom and the emergency services are dealing with?
Magen David Adom was immediately mobilized. All the stations have manpower and volunteers, and we also have young kids that volunteer, so they've all been mobilized, to prepare equipment and stuff that goes out into the field. I'm specifically belong to the blood bank, so we have an off the shelf, pull the emergency protocols off the shelf. And telephones go out to all the manpower, and everyone reports at their collection station. And I'm right now in Ichilov Hospital in Tel Aviv, in a sheltered area on -1 in the rehabilitation center. And a massive blood drive is going to start at 9 o'clock to collect blood in the event that there are mass casualty events. And
right,
And
are you given, would Magen David Adom or any of the emergency services be given any form of warning as to when that can be expected?
I haven't been following the news either, because we've been moving equipment around and setting up the blood drive. So I haven't seen any of the news, but we just follow the central command that when they do put out orders or instructions on what to do, it'll come through on the telephones immediately with a loud beep or siren kind of thing, and then we'll know what we've got to do. When we'll probably have they're talking, I heard on the radio that they're talking about a 10 minute alerts up front if missiles are launched to Israel. The thing is that at the moment, we are prepared for a massive attack from Iran. We don't know when it's going to be, because they're also assessing what damage has been done to their central command, because the targets were not only the nuclear facilities and defense targets, but also the chief of staff and the whole of the top brass in the army. So they're in shock. But the estimates are that they're going to recuperate, and it'll take them a while to get organized to launch a counterattack.
It is fascinating that, in a way, to some extent, the same mistake that Israel made, which was before October 7th, is not to really believe that Hamas would ever do this, and therefore discount some of the signs that they were seeing. To some extent, what Iran seemed to have worked out is that maybe Israel wouldn't attack prior to Sunday, to the last round of nuclear talks, and then when it did attack, it would attack the nuclear facilities, that it wouldn't attack the commanders and the infrastructure, which is actually quite absurd if you think about it, considering how Israel has over the last 20 months eliminated the leadership of Hamas, the leadership of Hezbollah. It was fairly obvious that they would go this way, even though Iran and maybe even we are a little surprised to the extent of it. And I think a very smart move on Israel's side, I think.
I think in war tactics or conflict, the element of surprise is crucial. And I think that's how why we were able to surprise them and inflict so much damage. I think you're quite correct in saying that with Hamas, there wasn't much preparation, there wasn't enough thought about what they could do. But as you saw with Hezbollah, with the Bipa operation, the big enemies that are very dangerous as far as we are concerned, Israel has worked on them for many, many, many years to collect intelligence and know, exactly what to do when D-Day comes.
Well, if there's something that we can be confident, and even through this war we could see that as maybe as inefficient as the intelligence was around Hamas and what was happening in Gaza, the information, the intelligence with regard to Iran has been absolutely breathtaking. I don't think that it's possible really for an intelligence organization to know more about the enemy than Israel knows about Iran. They identified them as a threat, and they have kept very close to this.
Yes, absolutely. I can only agree with you.
Lawrence, what happens in your life now over the next few days? How does the life of Lawrence C. look?
I've been awake since 7:30 yesterday morning because I was working last night. I got home at like 1:32. I had a shower, something to eat, and then all of this started. And as far as I know, officially we're supposed to be here at the hospital until 7 this evening. But I think it's gonna drag on till 10-11 midnight. I might be able to get home and then back out early tomorrow morning. Perhaps to the same facility or to a different facility in a different city, which has adequate shelter that we can run a blood drive there. But we're going to play it by ear because we don't know what's going to happen or what retaliation is going to look like. We obviously expect lots of problems with communication, with traffic on the roads, people wanting to move out to areas not in central Israel, because Tel Aviv, for example, has army headquarters and a lot of strategic targets for the enemy. So it's going to be mayhem, but in Hebrew we say, you ever said
it? It is, absolutely.
Managed to improvise. The thing is that there's often a very high price to pay for Well, so that, as we saw on the 7th of October.
That's
but I think that the army, is, from what I heard on the reports and what you can gather between the lines, is that this attack in Iran has been a serious, well-thought-out, brilliant attack that's going to cripple them. We don't know for how long or how crippled, but they definitely crippled at the moment because they were threatening that they were going to, you know, launch their preemptive attack. And that came after the IAEA
finding
a report that came out 2 days ago. And last night, their chief of staff said that Israel's going to suffer. And so that's why the our chief of staff said that they've reached the point of no return. They just before the point of no return and could bulge 10 nuclear weapons in a couple of days. So there was no choice, and that's why we had to preempt and, you know, prevent that from happening.
And that is where we leave it. Lawrence Seif, stay safe and look after yourself and everybody else that you are doing such amazing work for. It is 6:43. That was Lawrence Seif from Magen David Adom. He has been at it. They are doing a blood drive. They don't know, of course, what the response is going to be, but they have to be